The atmosphere of the following months was so tense that even Ursula perceived it in her dark corner, and she had the impression that once more she was living through the dangerous times when her son Aureliano carried the homeopathic pills of subversion in his pocket. She tried to speak to José Arcadio II to let him know about that precedent, but Aureliano II told her that since the night of the attempt on his life, no one knew his whereabouts.
"Just like Aureliano," Ursula exclaimed. "It's as if the world were repeating itself."
Fernanda was immune to the uncertainty of those days. She had no contact with the outside world since the violent altercation she had had with her husband over her having decided Meme's fate without his consent. Aureliano II was prepared to rescue his daughter with the help of the police if necessary, but Fernanda showed him some papers that were proof that she had entered the convent of her own free will. Meme had indeed signed once she was already behind the iron grating, and she did it with the same indifference with which she had allowed herself to be led away. Underneath it all, Aureliano II did not believe in the legitimacy of the proof, just as he never believed that Mauricio Babilonia had gone into the yard to steal chickens. But both expedients served to ease his conscience, and thus he could go back without remorse under the shadow of Petracotes, where he revived his noisy revelry and unlimited gourmandizing. Far into the restlessness of the town, deaf to Ursula's quiet predictions, Fernanda gave the last turn to the screw of her preconceived plan. She wrote a long letter to her son José Arcadio, who was then about to take his first orders, and in it she told him that his sister Renata had expired in the peace of the Lord and as a consequence of the black vomit. Then she put Amaranta Ursula under the care of Santa Sofia de la Piedad and dedicated herself to organizing her correspondence with the invisible doctors, which had been upset by Meme's trouble. The first thing that she did was to set a definite date for the postponed telepathic operation. But the invisible doctors answered her that it was not wise so long as the state of social agitation continued in Macondo. She was so urgent and so poorly informed that she explained to them in another letter that there was no such state of agitation, and that everything was the result of the lunacy of a brother-in-law of hers who was fiddling around at that time in that labor union nonsense, just as he had been involved with cockfighting and riverboats before. They were still not in agreement on the hot Wednesday when an aged nun knocked at the door, bearing a small basket on her arm. When she opened the door, Santa Sofia de la Piedad thought that it was a gift and tried to take the small basket that was covered with a lovely lace wrap. But the nun stopped her because she had instructions to give it personally and with the strictest secrecy to Doña Fernanda del Carpio de Buendía. It was Meme's son. Fernanda's former spiritual director explained to her in a letter that he had been born 2 months before, and that they had taken the privilege of baptizing him Aureliano, or his grandfather, because his mother would not open her lips to tell them her wishes. Fernanda rose up inside against that trick of fate, but she had sufficient strength to hide it in front of the nun. "We'll tell them that we found him floating in the basket," she said, smiling. "No one will believe it," the nun said. "If they believe it in the Bible," Fernanda replied, "I don't see why they shouldn't believe it from me." The nun lunched at the house while she waited for the train back, and in accordance with the discretion they asked of her, she did not mention the child again. But Fernanda viewed her as an undesirable witness of her shame and lamented the fact that they had abandoned the medieval custom of hanging a messenger who bore bad news. It was then that she decided to drown the child in the cistern as soon as the nun left. But her heart was not strong enough, and she preferred to wait patiently until the infinite goodness of God would free her from the annoyance. The new Aureliano was a year old when the tension of the people broke with no forewarning. José Arcadio II and other union leaders who had remained underground until then suddenly appeared one weekend and organized demonstrations in towns throughout the banana region. The police merely maintained public order. But on Monday night, the leaders were taken from their homes and sent to jail in the capital of the province with 2-pound irons on their legs. Taken among them were José Arcadio II and Lorenzo Gavilán, a colonel in the Mexican Revolution, exiled in Macondo, who said that he had been witness to the heroism of his comrade, Artemio Cruz. They were set free, however, within 3 months because of the fact that the government and the banana company could not reach an agreement as to who should feed them in jail.